My name is Anthony. I am an alcoholic.
Anthony.
And I'm grateful to be sober and in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're new, I want to welcome you. I hope you find what I found here, and it's a way of living that doesn't require me to drink. I want to thank Mark for asking me 15 minutes ago to be the 10-minute speaker. Mark's my sponsor, and I'm grateful for his guidance. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I love drinking. I love drinking. I love drinking. You know, and it did everything for me. You know, and I remember my first drunk, and me and my friend Sam and I, we put together a few dollars, and we went to Eddie's Liquor on Santa Fe in Long Beach, where I'm from. And we bought a pack of Reds and a couple bottles of Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill. I think I was about 13 years old, you know, and we went over to this girl's house and we cracked those bottles, and I took one of those things down, and if you've ever had Strawberry Hill, you know those things are meant for the junior alcoholic. You know, and it did that thing that people describe, however they describe it. You know, that heat that comes up and that drop in the shoulders, and I could breathe. You know, I had found something that I didn't even know I was looking for. Oftentimes you hear people that come to Alcoholics Anonymous and they have this idea of always having felt different, feeling apart from, and that wasn't my story. I came as I was. You know, as a child, I didn't know any different. You couldn't have told me I came from a broken home because I bounced around my family's houses and my parents were 17 when they had me and they were split up. That's just my family. You can't tell me the neighborhood I grew up is, you know, they're the projects. They're just where I live. You know, and when I found that booze, man, it did it. You know, and I tried to chase that feeling for the rest of my drinking. You know, and I'm one of those guys, I'm a repeat offender. You know, I've been to Alcoholics a lot of times, Alcoholics Anonymous a lot of times. I came when I was 14 years old. You know, we went to this old club in Long Beach, and I had gotten in trouble, and my public defender told me to fill out this little card and take it to the meeting, make it look like you're trying to do something for this case. You know, and I remember coming into that meeting, and everybody's 100 years old, you know. They're lighting Pall Mall non-filters with Pall Mall non-filters, you know, smoking them two at a time, you know. And I remember you had to park smoke just to find a seat in the meeting. You know, and at that time, you know, what I didn't hear till much later, people would talk about trying to identify with the similarities and not the differences. Because with my 14-year-old ears at that time, I heard prison sentences and kids in the system and bankruptcies and loss of jobs, and that wasn't my problem. This guy snitched on me, and now I got to come here, you know. But today I'll tell you with the trust and reliance upon a higher power and looking back in that 2020 sober hindsight, I believe my higher power was presenting you to me at this young age and saying, hey, kid, you're going to need this. And if you survive yourself and you're willing, we have a solution. You know, there's an old saying that all roads lead to Rome. You know, and throughout my whole life, you know, all my life's roads have led me back to Alcoholics Anonymous. I managed to get sober at 18 for a couple years, and you know, and as it was different from when I was 14, and I thought there was a timer up here. Okay. It was different from when I was 14 because, you know, now when I started to hear those H&I panels come into the place that I was at, you know, I started to identify because I had felt some of those ways and I had done some of those things. And I thought maybe this would work for me, you know, and I tried to do this thing as best as I was shown at that time. You know, they say it's a monkey see, monkey do program, right? But you got to be careful what monkey you're following around. You know, I did what I did, and at some point at 21 years old, my father invited me back home, and he said, "You're doing good, you know. You got the work truck, you got the girlfriend, you're going to school, you got a job." I thought, "You're right. You know, all right, I will come home." Our book tells us that we have a daily reprieve contingent on the basis of our spiritual maintenance. So there's actions that I have to take here that come between me and the drink. Actions that put me in contact with that higher power. And as soon as I moved out of that sober living and back home, I had abandoned all those actions, right? So it's not a matter of if, it's when. When is Anthony going to drink again? And the day came. You know, I went out to go with some friends, and I'm going to show them how good sobriety looks. And they're just, you know, drinking with impunity. And you know, when you're not drunk, drunk jokes aren't funny. You know, and I'm just like, the coil is tightening. You know, and to the naked eye, it just, you don't see anything. You just see a guy saying, "I'll take one over here." You know, I drank one, right? And I didn't break out in a rash of felonies or anything like that. What happened for me is I ordered another one. And it brought me back to that place that I had always gone back to. All I have to do is look back at my experience and see that I'll be back at that same place. Whatever those new circumstances look like, I'll be miserable and alone. I'll speed this up. You know, I managed to come back at 28 years old after being homeless for 2.5 years, sharing a tent with two other people under a bridge. And, you know, before 2 years before that, I was working at a bank in downtown Oakland and going to a university in Berkeley. And I didn't know what to do. High Desert Big Book Group was my first real home group. It was a place that introduced an Alcoholics Anonymous to me that worked. You know, I came out to Acton whenever that was open. I don't know what the status is anymore. And I heard those H&I speakers come out. But I'll tell you, those years I'd been sober down here then, I was extremely frustrated and worried. I was angry all the time. My life wasn't picking up fast enough. Now I can make your meetings and I can sponsor guys and I can do these commitments, but I just, it's not happening fast enough. And after a few years, I start to cut corners. I start to cut corners and I start to do what I want to do, you know. And in our 12th step, it talks about having had a spiritual awakening. We practice these principles in all our affairs and we help the next suffering alcoholic. But I wasn't practicing those principles. And in 2014, I ended up relapsing during a hospitalization where I thought I was going to die. I was out for 4 months, and my sobriety date is January 23rd of 2015. By the grace of God, and I don't know how I was only out for 4 months. 4 months, it proved to me that you can pack a lot of damage into a short amount of time. You know, and I came back and you welcomed me. What's been on my mind a lot over these this past few months, you know, I had never come to a place that has expressed more compassion and patience upon its individual members like I have in Alcoholics Anonymous. When everybody around me seemed to have to push themselves away out of self-preservation, you said, "Okay, we'll work with you." But I had to take the action. I had to take the action, and it's been a long road since then. That first year, there was a lot of the worry and there was a lot of the frustration. And that's when I really started to focus on the amends process during that year. I had surrendered in a jail cell by February. I had hit the streets and come out with 60 days, and it was time to get to work. You know, and within a year after getting out of jail, I went around and started taking care of all my misdemeanors and felonies and clearing up my record. And soon after that, my wife Shalabi and I, you know, we moved up to Washington State. And I'll tell you a really quick. We found a home group up there. We had visited the summer before in 15, and we went to a meeting, and that meeting, it wasn't very good. And I seen a guy outside, and I started to ask him, and we started to talk. He said, "We've been trying to support this meeting, but you should come to our home group." We said, "Okay." And we come to their home group, and we walk up, and you could hear Alcoholics Anonymous outside. And I'm being introduced to these men, and suddenly they know Johnny Harrison, they know Larry Thomas, and they know all these men that they got sober with down here. It was just like our home group back home. When we moved the next summer, we had a home group before we had a place to live and a job. We grow where we're planted. I love Alcoholics Anonymous, and my life has continuously gotten better and better. And, you know, I love working with other men and being of service, and I learned that here in the High Desert Big